Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right. The big time, 1700. Blake. 5:15, and then Sean Tomlinson will dive into the National Football League at about 5:35. Trent, where are you on this hoop game tonight for Iowa? Is it another disaster waiting to happen, or is it a slim possibility they could pull an upset?
No, they're going to get throttled, Jim. It's a bad basketball team. We got to stop overthinking this. This is a bad basketball team. They're terrible. They can't play on the road. They're good against bad teams at home, and that's about it. They played well for one game against Michigan State. They're bad. And unless they shoot 55% from the floor and outscore Michigan 98-94, they're going to get throttled again, just like they got throttled on Saturday, and they got throttled basically every other time they've been on the road this year outside of playing Illinois. Jim, I don't know what more we can say about this team, about this game. And I thought earlier, for people that missed it and just hopped in the car with the 5 o'clock whistle, if you missed our interview with Pat Hardy, a couple of very interesting things that he brought up with us today. Christian Williams, that transfer, maybe leading to some people questioning Fran McCaffrey pushing him away, Connor taking over the point guard duties, rubbing people the wrong way. I thought that was interesting. Not just those rumblings have been out there, but how it still lingers now. We're halfway through February. You got to grow up. This should not be something that is continuing to impact you here. And you couple that with, you know what? I think Connor McCaffrey has a chance to be a lot better point guard than Christian Williams ever did. Christian Williams was a good defender, but never developed offensively. He didn't have a jump shot. All he could do was get to the rim. He was a defender. And they could could have helped, absolutely. But Connor McCaffrey, I think, is going to turn out to be a lot better point guard than what you're going to get out of Christian Williams. But maybe the bigger part, we haven't touched on this yet, Jimmy B. He said he expects a significant change in the roster this offseason. So wild speculation time, Jimmy B. What what does that mean?
I think you're going to get some kids leaving. I really do.
Well, man. I mean, we've talked about
that. That happens, though.
Yeah. I mean, Brady Ellickson, okay. Yeah, you get that. Ahmad
Wagner. How about Penzel?
Yeah, that would be a surprise. That would be a surprise. What about the freshman, Nunji or Garza? That would be significant, I would think. Now we see Nunji play a lot better. Led the team in scoring against Ohio State. Garza has come on here in the second half of the Big Ten slate, but you know, we've talked about Kreener. We've talked about guys like that.
Right.
But what if Tyler Cook is looking to move? Now, that would be significant. What if it is Bohannon? Those are the two. In differing ways, all the other guys I think you could see. You know, Maishi Daly maybe looks at it and says, hey, I'm not getting minutes here. I'm not. I'm behind Isaiah Moss. They're bringing in Joe Weisskamp. I'm not playing the point behind Bohannon and with McCaffrey there. That one you can see. A lot of them make sense. But to me, the significant moves would be either Jordan Bohannon or Tyler Cook. When I think significant, I'd think of those two guys.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know if that will take place. I have a feeling that Tyler Cook will sniff the NBA a little bit to see, try to get a feel of what his draft status might be.
Yeah. And it'd be dumb not to, because you can put your name in and pull it back. As long as you don't hire an agent, you're okay. You don't lose any eligibility. I mean, you get a free NBA report card to see what they think of your game and what you need to work on and the things that you need to develop. I tell every guy on my team, put your name in. You're not going to get a draftable grade. You're not going to have anything like that. But do it and see what those scouts and those people that come out with that do it. I tell that to all my guys. I tell it from everybody from Tyler Cook, and I tell it all the way down to, I don't know, walk-on like Austin Ash. Oh, put your name in there because it doesn't hurt you. Just do it. Just do it. But you know what happens. He'll do that. He'll probably even come out with the statement saying, I'm just testing the waters to see where I am. My intention is to come back. And even then, people will be freaking out.
Interesting, if that's the case.
Well, come on, Jim. You know that.
No, I yeah, you're right. Yeah, fans do that stuff. You're right. Yeah. He needs to do that, though. I mean, he has to. It's what you said. You get pretty much a free report card.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So, look, I think that there will be some, and if Pat Hardy said it, I'm buying it, significant turnover on this team. You might have three, even four guys leave.
Mm.
I could see that happening. I really can, after the close of this season. I really could see that.
Well, to be honest, I am so tired of talking about this team and what a disappointment that they have been. I told you last hour I'm not looking forward to this game tonight. So, Jim, I'm done with the college basketball for a moment. We'll get into Big 12 okay. with Blair Kirkhoff in a little bit. But I am going to give you a minute to talk about your NBA.
Time now for Jimmy B's crappy NBA Minute.
New prison was unsealed in Chicago, Chicago Stadium. Ricky Mahorn hustling underneath, can't get it to fall. Jordan to the hoop, hang in the air, score!
The Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes! You gotta have the Cleveland Cavaliers in there. Look at what they've accomplished with the new people that they have. It's unbelievable. Look at Larry Jr. Look at Jordan Clarkson. Look at what's going on with this team. They haven't lost a game since those guys arrived. Right now, LeBron James and company are headed back to the NBA Finals. Headed back to the NBA Finals with the addition of the guys that they have right now.
Jimmy B, that was a great minute. That was a wonderful minute, and I thank you so much. Anything to move us past college basketball talk. What a season this has been. Hey, Drake's in action tonight at the Knapp Center. Yeah. They got Indiana State coming to town. There's a positive story. And you know what? I was playing around with the numbers, fiddling around and seeing, all right, can we get a way to get you and I and Drake kind of matched up on the same side of the bracket? Well, in order for that to happen, you and I fans, you got a lot of rooting for Drake. In fact, you need not only to win out the Panthers, but you also need Drake to win out. If that would happen, they'd be down on the bottom side of the bracket. Drake, the 2 seed, you and I comes in as the number 6 seed, and they could possibly play. How about this, Jimmy B? Saturday afternoon in the semifinal round to play for the title. Now, that would be good. You and I got a win last night. It wasn't pretty, 47-41 over Evansville. That's what I'm rooting for, though. Drake, yep. You and I on the same side of the bracket, and hey, we'll see. We'll see if we get a run and at least have a team in the title game. That'd be something fun that first weekend in March.
Would give us something to talk about.
Ugh, yes.
Yeah.
Sick of talking about the Hawkeyes, that's for sure.
I know you are. Ugh. Coming up next, Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star, is going to be our guest. Right here, everybody, on the Big Talker 1700.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, going to the chicken coop to watch the game.
Whoa, football season is over. What game?
The basketball, soccer, hockey game, race.
Oh, big fan of those sports now, are we?
Yeah, always. You know me.
You're really just going for the wings and beer, aren't you?
Pretty much. Bye.
Yeah, buddy. The chicken coop knows what's up. The games are great, but the real MVPs are the flame-broiled wings and beer at your favorite sports bar. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, West Des Moines and Urbandale.
Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC, as we take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight on 1700. And good to track down one of our favorite people to talk to in the world of sports down in Kansas City, Blair Kirkhoff of the Kansas City Star, as he joins us this afternoon. Blair, a big one last night up in Ames, and Kansas responded in a big way, getting that road victory, something that, three top 20 teams can't say for themselves this season.
Yeah, that was a big one for Kansas coming off the loss over the weekend at Baylor, a place where they'd had great success over the years, and that loss meant they fell a full game behind Texas Tech in the league standing. And if Kansas is going to try to win its 14th straight Big 12 championship, they can't fall too much farther behind Texas Tech. They do get to play the Red Raiders in Lubbock a week from Saturday. And if they're, you know, more than a game back, then we know we can all do the math and see where that would not give them an opportunity. So, and it wasn't just Saturday's loss at Baylor. Kansas was 3-3 in its last six games, not playing particularly well. And I thought I thought Kansas played really well last night. It was one of their better games. And going into Hilton, we all know what that's about. And I know that Tech and Oklahoma and West Virginia know what that's about this year. So that ends up being a really nice victory for Kansas. And continues something of a frustrating year for the Cyclones. I know that it's turning out to be a rebuilding year for Iowa State, and the Cyclones should be much better next year, but I know this is a tough one to get through.
I think a lot of fans have come to that conclusion as well, Blair. I think they're reasonably somewhat comfortable with that now. One of the things that I find interesting right now in the Big 12, and you chronicled Kansas and maybe finally not maybe winning the regular season title. Depending on how this plays out, and let's just use a, for instance, that, say, Texas Tech wins the regular season. How would that impact the committee as far as putting Kansas in the NCAA tournament? Would they still be like a two, or would they drop even further down from that?
You know, the committee did it. There's a little bracket exercise that went on Sunday and had the had Kansas in second place on that day behind Texas Tech with Kansas coming off that Baylor loss. And the committee still had Kansas as a two seed and Texas Tech as a three. And the justification for that is Kansas had, you know, the non-conference schedule that Kansas has played. Of course, anything in the Big 12, any victory in the Big 12 this year is a worthy victory. And Kansas had just accumulated so many quality victories that that it kind of offset the poor play of late and the overall number of losses, which is six. But I got to tell you, I think if I'm on that committee, I've got to consider the eye test and understand Kansas just hadn't been playing well, and to be a two seed at that point, it just seemed a little lofty to me. I think Kansas will stay on the, you know, if they win the games that they'll be favored to win the rest of the way, I think Kansas will be a three, no worse than a four, and maybe as high as a two. They're in that range, but this isn't a vintage Kansas team, and it's not going to be a number one team, not with so many other candidates who could be on that top line. You know, they're still. You know, still five games to play in the regular season in the conference tournament, so a lot of things can happen. But I just don't see this as a type of Kansas team that's going to go into the tournament thinking that it's one of the, you know, four, five, six teams that you think can win it all, which has been the case each of the last few years.
Blair, with that, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about this, about what's different from Kansas, and defensively, they're a step back from what you normally expect out of a Kansas team. I think this is the worst defensive team, at least according to Ken Pom, of the Bill Self era, and it seems different. Have you been able to put your finger on it, why this team just does seem a little bit off than, I guess, vintage Kansas, if you will?
Yeah, I think you put it well. It does seem different. It does. I look at it this way: when you go back, and it's been 13 straight years of conference championships for Kansas, and you look at the roster of most of those teams, and you'd find probably with one or two exceptions more future NBA games on those rosters than most others. I say most others. You know, the Texas team that had Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine, and the Oklahoma team with the Griffin brothers and some other talented players may have ended up on, you know, those rosters may have ended up with more future NBA games than Kansas. But for the most part, year in, year out, the talent level is just, I think, that much greater at Kansas than at other places. Now, I look at the roster of this team, and I'm telling you, I don't see a ton of future NBA games on this roster. I think Udoka Azubuike will have a chance in the league, And you know, Devontae Graham will maybe get drafted, and Mekhi Luke might get drafted, but they're all projected the second round, so there's no guarantees there. And I've seen Texas Tech play a couple of times this year. The way that they're playing and the talent that they have, I just think the gap between Kansas and other teams in the league is less than it has been in other years. And maybe this isn't the most talented team in the conference. Now, Kansas has only itself to blame for that, and Bill Self has only himself to blame. It's easy to recruit to Kansas, easier than other places, and he just didn't put together a roster this year that could, handle this league and this type. For instance, Kansas wanted Trey Young, but because Devontae Graham came back for a senior year, that was going to limit Trey Young's playing time at Kansas. So he went to where he could play, to the minutes that he's got now at Oklahoma. And there are a couple other examples like that. So Kansas put itself in this position, and they're going to have to live with the results.
All right, so you were talking there, and you were talking about guys at the next level. I don't know why this popped in my head, Blair. Sometimes I go a little crazy, but why didn't Sherron Collins ever stick in the league? I loved him so much as a point guard. He's one of my favorite college point guards to watch. I know, he wasn't big. He was, 5'11", and maybe he was smaller than that. Why did Collins never stick in the league?
Yeah, that's a bit of a mystery. There was some school of thought when he finished at Kansas that his desire to be an NBA player wasn't what it needed to be. And he showed up kind of overweight at a training camp, and he was invited to a pro day of a team. I want to say it was Charlotte, but I can't remember. And he missed his flight, and there were just some issues with him that left you shaking your head. That he must not have wanted it in a way that we would think that a player like that would just give his left arm to become an NBA player. It's funny, though. He has played professional basketball since then, and now he's living in Lawrence, and he's at Kansas games, and he's made money at the game, but there was a difference between him and when Frank Mason, who I find to be kind of similar players, upon leaving Kansas, I think there was a difference in desire and effort, and it's paying off for Frank Mason, who has been injured, but was before he got injured, was having a successful season in Sacramento, and then Sherron, who didn't have much of a 10 days in the NBA in his career.
Blair, a changing off season certainly coming up for the Kansas City Chiefs as we change direction here. Just want to get your thoughts on yesterday the news, Derek Johnson moving on. They're going to move past him. He still wants to play, and some changes defensively maybe from this Chiefs squad.
Coming clearer is they're shedding age. Even with Alex Smith, who has coming off his most productive year as an NFL quarterback, when he led the league in passer rating, he's 34 when next season starts. I think Washington's going to get a good, really good quarterback in Smith and get production out of him. But the Chiefs wanted to go young, and they had invested in Mahomes, moving up in the draft and trading a future first round pick for him. And I think the same can be said for Darrell Revis, who they signed to a contract that allowed them to get out of the second year, an aging Darrell Revis. And then of course, Derek Johnson, the 13-year linebacker here, who is pretty much the defining player of this era of the Kansas City Chiefs. He was, he finished at Texas in 2005 and was the Chiefs' first-round pick in 06. Has been on the team ever since then. And to release him, or basically not, let him go to free agency, was the Chiefs' way of saying, bidding him farewell. So that's the end of an era. They want to get younger and stronger, and that's where the, at least on the defensive side, that's where the bigger problems were for this team during the season. It was when they lost Eric Berry in the opening game. It was it was difficult to find defensive leaders, and it was difficult to find the overall talent that was needed to be a successful postseason team. They were good enough to win the division for the second straight year, but but it was an old defense. It was not going to get any younger by keeping these guys. So I think we're going to see a lot more Reggie Ragland and Kevin Pierre-Lewis at inside linebacker. I think the Chiefs are going to make that a priority in the draft, that position, along with a rush end slash outside linebacker, and then another cornerback. So I think the average age of this team, and especially the defense, is going to go down for 2018.
Pat Mahomes, Blair, obviously you saw him a lot in college. I know there's a ton of excitement there for him. A big armed guy, played very well in Week 17 when he got the start. What's a reservation, though, that you have going into 2018 with Mahomes?
You know, for me, having seen a lot of his, all of his preseason games, his game at Denver and the regular season where he ended up winning and leading the team in a comeback win, actually, in the fourth quarter, or game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. I don't have many reservations. I do think that it's you can't forget that he was not a winning quarterback in college. Didn't finish with a winning record. One of his three teams went to a bowl game, but the other two, you know, did not. And I always thought this was interesting. One of the games the Chiefs officials talk about that convinced them to pursue Mahomes in the way that they did was the game at Iowa State his final year when the Cyclones, you guys maybe remember the score, I don't, but it was 60-something to a very little.
Yeah.
And, it was the Cyclones bludgeoning the Red Raiders that day. And the Chiefs talked about, and Mahomes was hurt. He was playing injured and playing through injuries. And the Chiefs officials have said that the way that he handled himself and handled, you know, related to his teammates and coaching staff, and that game was really impressive for somebody who, you know, who was just getting crushed. And so that on top of the successes he had, like he set the year, tied the NCAA passing record in a loss at Oklahoma that year, earlier that year, and this set a bushel full of other records. Passing records helped convince the Chiefs that he was the guy and not Deshaun Watson or Mitch Trubisky or any other quarterback that was in the draft that year. So everybody's excited. They really are. And it's funny, the trade of Alex Smith came a couple weeks, a week after, or during those Super Bowl weeks, so 3 weeks after the Chiefs had lost in the playoff game, and it really changed the mood in Kansas City. With Chiefs fans, they're really looking forward to this season. Whereas, I think if Alex Smith was coming back, it would have been more. You know, what's going to be different? More of the same, and now there's just this eager anticipation of the Patrick Mahomes era here in Kansas City.
With that, where do you have the Chiefs then in the division with Denver and the Raiders and with San Diego? Where do you think they're going to end up right now?
Well, let's see who ends up at quarterback at with the Broncos. That's a big consideration, because if it's Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. then I think that would put him in that offense with the Denver defense, and I think they're back, and maybe not back to the level they were 3 years ago, but back. And look, the Chargers were surprised this year after that terrible start, the way that they played the middle of the season and rallied to a nice finish. And the Raiders were the disappointment. They were the division favorites, and then it kind of fell apart for them. So I'm going to look. It's almost impossible to peg the division right now, because going into last season, even though others thought the Raiders were the better team, I still like the Chiefs. I look at it, who's got the best coach quarterback combination in the division, and you know, maybe it may still be with Kansas City, with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Even though we don't know much about Mahomes, that still may be the best quarterback combination or the quarterback coach combination. I do like the Chargers, though. I like what Anthony Lynn did with, and Philip Rivers is back. And like I said, there's a lot to learn and know about what's going to happen with Denver, but. Tight race. I'm not sure we're looking at a Super Bowl type of team out of the division, but I think I would have said that maybe about the Eagles going into last year as well.
Final minute with you, Blair, to baseball. The Royals, offseason of change. Lorenzo Cain's in Milwaukee. And, well, we're still waiting, as everybody is, on Hosmer and Moustakas and seemingly every other free agent that is out there. Expectations, though, I'm going to guess, unless we see a couple of those guys come back, pretty low in Kansas City this year?
I think so. Especially when you're in a division with the Indians, which not much change there, and the Indians are stacked, and the Twins were so much better last year, made a big jump. There's just too much unknown about Kansas City, and I think it's the beginning of the future here, and I think last year was the end of the past. So it's a start over time, and even though fans would love to see Hosmer Moustakas back in a Royals uniform, I think there's even an understanding here that they might be better off without them, because they had them last year in 180 games, and without them, at least they would certainly begin the youth movement in earnest, get the compensation picks for them, and go from there. So. I think if one or the other was the preference, they'd try to bring Hosmer back, because there's a big hole at first base without him. But I don't know. I think Royals fans are bracing themselves for some lean years, maybe not 100 loss lean, but maybe somewhere between 88 and 94 loss lean for the Royals this season, and then we'll see what happens in the next few.
Good stuff. Hey Blair, as always, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, guys, take care.
Blair Kirkhoff, boys and girls, Kansas City star, joining us here on Jimmy B and TC. We need a quick timeout. Shifting our attention over, we're talking a little football next. We talk Chiefs, we'll hit everybody else on the other side as Sean Tomlinson will join us. We take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC.
And welcome back, everybody. We continue all the way till 6 o'clock. Sean Tomlinson stopping by, like we love to have him on the show. Even though there isn't any NFL games, there's still plenty to talk about. Sean, how are you, man?
Doing well, just sort of settling into the off season here. You know, what did normal people do on Sundays, guys? I'm not really sure how that works.
You're right about that. Yes, it's what? There's no games to watch. What's going on here? But there's conversation. So let's start first with the way the quarterbacks have shifted around, and let's start with the Washington Redskins. And Kirk Cousins seems to be the name that is bantered the most, although Nick Foles' name is going to come up a lot as well. All right, look into your crystal ball. Where is Kirk Cousins when training camp opens?
I think I know where Kirk Cousins wants to go, and that's the Vikings. There's sort of some murmurs that the Minnesota's at the top of his wish list, and it's quite easy to see why. Obviously, a team that almost made the Super Bowl, a lot of great offensive weapons. But as appealing as that might be for Kirk, it's a Vikings team that, there's a couple, you look down the road to 2019, there's some free agents that are going to have to re-sign, Hunter, Diggs, Kendricks, I believe, as well. So, yeah, it seems like a great idea to get that big fish, but it could sting, especially for a team that almost made it to the big dance, to the big game with Casey Keenum there. So, I think the next team that's going to make the biggest push was probably going to be the Cardinals. Actually kind of quietly they're in a similar situation to the Vikings in that Palmer retires, and obviously that creates a huge hole, and then Gabbert's also a free agent, and Stanton is too. So it's a team in transition there. I think he probably might go there, but there's so many teams that are going to throw like the equivalent of a tiny island nation's GDP at him, and he's gonna make probably $30 million annually easily.
Not too bad. Good work if you can get it. There's no doubt. Hey, Sean, you got the quarterbacks going on. It's going to be a lot of change happening here. Denver looking for a quarterback. Arizona's going to be in the same spot. And a look forward past free agency and the guys moving around to the draft. A lot of people talking about how this is a deep quarterback draft. Personally, I don't see it that way. What are your thoughts on the prospects coming out of this quarterback class?
Yeah, I'm most interested to see what the NFL thinks of Baker Mayfield, and it is still obviously there's a caveat that it's very early in the process here. We haven't done the combine yet. A lot happens between now and late April. I think Sam Darnold is sort of the safest prospect, and I don't mean that. Usually that comes across as an insult almost. That's not how I mean it. It's he has a lot of great arm strength, great physical tools. But he's reliable, and that, and but then you look down at Josh Rosen, and yes, a terrific arm talent, but there's some accuracy issues at times. You know, Darnold doesn't have that accuracy problem. He has a problem that sort of reminds you of Jameis Winston coming out, that he threw a few buckets fulls of interceptions during his final year, and that's a little concerning. But you know, it's a product of a quarterback that maybe jams some balls into some tight windows, mm-hmm. and that can adjust as you go. The concern with Darnold actually really is his age. He is crazy young to be. So in September 2018, he'll be 21, I believe it is. And that's a scary age to take on that amount of pressure and responsibility. But I mean, he's been the USC starting quarterback for a few years, so it's not foreign to him.
I was just going to say, yeah, he's been in that fishbowl for the last few years. Okay, so you like him. So where's Josh Allen in all of this out of Wyoming?
It's, again, a guy who he's certainly has the build. He's got a real strong arm. I think you've got so many quarterback-hungry and starved teams at the top of that draft. I mean, we haven't even mentioned the Jets yet, a team that somehow won five games when people thought they wouldn't win any, and is really looking for that solution. It wouldn't shock me at all if you get, you know, at least possibly four quarterbacks in that top 10. It feels like every year we're going to have that break pump and say maybe teams will wait a bit this year and let the quarterbacks come to them. But then, I mean, we said that last year, and we've got teams jumping up for Patrick Mahomes, and that was a great move now, but it just, at the time, it was like, okay, maybe he'll be available later on, and et cetera, and it just, it never plays out that way, and we see it, because it has to be that way, since, you know, the supply and demand, one does not equal the other ever in the NFL with quarterbacks. And there's, you know, in free agency right now, coming up, I mean, Drew Brees isn't going to make it there, and we're going to have teams stumbling over Casey Keenum. And he had a great season. It just, that's the best out there on the cupboard. So you need to be aggressive to get those young quarterbacks.
So this offseason, contracts, the moving parts, I want to get your thoughts on the Eagles. I know there are cap concerns. They have some big decisions to be made. Mentioned Nick Foles and what they're going to do there, but you know, with him, and then you couple that with Carson Wentz on a rookie deal, it's really not that big of a deal. What's the biggest concern when you look at the squad, at the Eagles, and what they're going to have to do to try to get everybody under the cap?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're right. They're in a great position with those quarterbacks because, you know, Carson Wentz, he had almost an MVP season. And he's on a rookie deal. Whenever you can nail that rookie down, as the Eagles have done, as the Seahawks did with Wilson, you're set for years. And then even if they bring, even if he's not healthy, and then Foles comes back, that's only $7 million for a backup quarterback, and for a guy who can start for you. I think what they've got Blunt, who played a big role. Coming down, they're gonna have to look at him and see what he can do and get him back and there, that to me is the main area in that backfield, just keeping those weapons together. You know, Darren Sproles as well. We kind of forgot about him since he got injured so early. You know, there's the hope that maybe he can come back and mend himself, but Corey Clement has taken over that role. You know, it's a team that really, quite obviously, given what we just saw, doesn't have a whole lot of gaping holes. But the one really is with Wentz. Can he be healthy? And the obvious offseason question going in is then, do they get that major trade thrown at them that they could pull the trigger on Foles? Because as I just described, the quarterback desperation is so high in the league that could certainly happen. You know, a team like, say, the Bills or the Broncos or et cetera. That's really the biggest question to me.
One of the things that I'm going to find interesting here is, and you were just talking about the Eagles, they just lost their offensive coordinator in Frank Reich. He's the new head coach now for the Indianapolis Colts. Any little inside information? Does Reich take that job knowing or getting assurances that his star quarterback, Andrew Luck, is going to play? Or does he take that job just because he was an assistant there, likes it there, and it's his first head coaching opportunity?
Yeah, I think it sort of fell in his lap, right? I mean, it's really bizarre the way that played out, obviously. The Colts go from taking on the losing offensive coordinator to the winning one. And Frank Wright, to me, I think of his brilliance with the Bills as a player, actually. But, you know, what he's able to do with that Eagles team, or with that Eagles situation with the injuries, says a lot about his football mind. It's still such a mystery with Luck and what may or may not happen there. You know, my first thought when the whole Josh McDaniels thing went down was, you know, this can't be anything good about Andrew Luck. We're talking about a quarterback who is 13 months removed from surgery, and he's still not throwing a football yet regularly. He's working out right now. He's throwing, I believe, like tennis balls, and he's kind of very slowly and steadily making progress, but it's just not encouraging enough that you can really sink your teeth into something with him. So, you know, if he can come back and be who he was 2 years ago, that was by far the most appealing head coaching opening heading into this sort of season of the coaching carousel. But just such a massive if, and I just, for the sake of football fans, and people love watching great quarterbacks do great quarterback things, I hope we see him again, Elby.
Take me to Green Bay and an organization with Ted Thompson as the GM. Now, about as sturdy as you're going to find over the last 15 years. This offseason, it has been different. Aaron Rodgers coming back from injury, that'll be a big storyline, obviously, and what, you know, is going to happen with him and how good he's going to look. But an offseason that's different from the Packers. Arrow trending up, arrow trending down. The future of Green Bay, your thoughts?
I think the answer to that question is going to lie in what they do at wide receiver. I think, well, more directly, the arrow is always trending up if you have a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. We've seen repeatedly, yearly, you know, anybody who's around him looks that much better because of what he's able to do with his precision. We don't talk about how he is as a runner off the, as much as we should, you know. And we're not talking about a quarterback. Yes, obviously he missed quite a bit of time this past season, but he hasn't had a lot of serious things throughout his career. He hasn't missed a ton of time, really. But what's concerning though to me is he's, you know, time always wins. It's such a cliche, but it's true. It's true about, I guess, everybody except Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers isn't, you know, he's obviously not getting younger. This is a guy that he's advancing in age a bit, and you want to, as a Packers, take advantage of that age window, that window to add more championships, and you've only won one during the Rodgers era. So with Cobb and Nelson, you know, it's two receivers who one is aging himself, and Nelson, and Cobb hasn't been as productive as he was a few years ago. They're combining to take up a lot of salary cap space, a lot of space that can be used to put other weapons around Rodgers or improve that defense. I think one of those two doesn't come back at minimum, and that's really the major looming question, I think.
Very interesting. You think that's the case. As far as the league itself, it had a downturn in ratings, TV ratings. Super Bowl it went down a little bit. Do you think it rebounds then this coming season in TV ratings, or do you think that they've kind of...
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because it combines a lot of things, and it's a question that goes beyond sort of the game itself. I mean, it goes beyond the game as an entertainment product, in the same way that any show you ever watch on TV is an entertainment product, in the same way that the Olympics right now is, right? It's really, the question you're asking this is, when you sit down on the couch to watch, is football entertaining? And it is, to me, still until you get to the point where there's a spectacular catch and you have to question whether or not it was a catch. And which, you know, and that is so frustrating for a lot of fans, and I think that's the biggest hurdle for the NFL this season, this off season, to if not solve that problem, because it's not an easy one to solve, come closer. And it's tough to say, you know, you go back to where it was just as soon as a knee's down, it's a catch, because then you get a lot of fumbles. It's a very difficult question, but I think, though, and it's easy to look at those ratings, and the ratings aren't spiking downwards, they're kind of just stagnating, and think and say the NFL is struggling, and it's certainly not a good sign. However, I think it's on par with what TV is doing across the board. People are cutting cords. Millennials are cutting a lot of cords. People aren't tuning into aren't watching anything that's not a live event as much. And even then, you can often get it streamed. So it's I think on the whole, ratings are going down, and the NFL is very much a part of that.
Sean Tomlinson with Bleacher Report. Sean, as always, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for your time today.
Anytime. Thank you.
Sean Tomlinson, check out his work at Bleacher Report. Does a great job over there, as always. With that, Jimmy B, it's over. Mm-hmm. It's done. The Hawkeyes.
What?
Yeah, Hawkeyes are in progress. We got to rush home and, well, see what happens. I don't have
I'm not. Correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
You got a hot date on Valentine's?
No. Come on. I'm a sports guy.
Well, yeah.
What's important? Hoops, man. That's what's important.
But you can still do both. I mean, it's not a one or the other proposition, right?
Yeah, it is. For me, it is.
It is for you. Wow.
Yeah. I got to lock in. You know, I'm locking into the game.
Learn something new every day. We'll talk about that Hawkeye game tomorrow coming up here. We'll be on the air 4:30, a little bit late, as we'll be wrapping up wrestling coverage from Wells Fargo Arena tomorrow. We have your coverage from 1 o'clock until 4:30 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Should be a great time at the Well. In the opening of the Class 3A tournament, we will bring you the coverage of that. Then the coverage continues on Friday. We'll be on the air bright and early at 9 a.m. Jimmy B will not be even close to getting up at that point. I will be, though, coverage from 9 until 1, and then in the evening with the night session. We got you covered here. You're home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG. Thanks, everybody, out there for listening in. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 1700 KBGG.